What if the solution to your life's biggest question was sitting on a library shelf, waiting to be discovered? In Michiko Ayoma's enchanting novel, this possibility transforms the lives of five lost souls in Tokyo who find their way to a community library presided over by the enigmatic Miss Komachi. This librarian possesses an uncanny ability to recommend exactly the right book for each visitor's unspoken needs. The novel has captivated readers worldwide since its 2018 publication, selling over 2 million copies and earning praise from figures like Emma Watson, who called it a gentle reminder of literature's healing power. Drawing from her own experience as a librarian, Ayoma crafted this story during Japan's economic uncertainty as a beacon of hope through the power of books and human connection. Through Miss Komachi's guidance, the characters discover that finding their way forward isn't about seeking external answers, but learning to ask better questions of themselves. At 21, Tomoka feels imprisoned at Eden Department Store after 30 job rejections. Her only workplace friend, Kiriyama, challenges her vague career desires, noting she only describes perks, not actual work. Tomoka's perspective shifts when she witnesses Mrs. Numauchi, a 55-year-old part-timer she'd dismissed, expertly handle an angry customer with a shrunken sweater. Mrs. Numauchi demonstrates genuine customer service by empathizing while offering solutions, even securing an additional sale. At the library, Miss Komachi gives Tomoka Guri and Gura, a children's book about mice baking a castella cake, along with a felt frying pan. Inspired, Tomoka attempts the cake herself. After failing initially, she practices daily, researching and refining until perfecting it. This journey transforms her daily habits. She begins cooking proper meals and cleaning her apartment. Sharing her cake with Mrs. Numauchi creates a connection through shared childhood memories. Through this simple story, Tomoka realizes skills develop through practice, and finding one's path requires consistent small steps rather than grand epiphanies. At 35, Ryo's accounting career suffers when the president's niece falsely accuses him of harassment after he confronts her about a doctored receipt. This injustice spills into his personal life when he dismissively calls his girlfriend Hina's online shop just a hobby, sparking their first serious fight. At the library, Miss Komachi gives him How Do Worms Work?, a book revealing how plants maintain equal focus above and below ground, with neither aspect secondary. This introduces the concept of parallel careers, pursuing two professional paths simultaneously. At Cats Now Books, Ryo meets Yasuhara, who balances running his bookshop with freelance editing. Neither job is secondary, Yasuhara explains, noting the shop provides more emotional satisfaction than profit. He also shares stories of late bloomers when Ryo mentions age concerns. This perspective shift inspires Ryo to pursue opening an antique shop while keeping his day job. When he shares his plan with Hina, she surprisingly proposes marriage first, and together they begin planning their future. Natsumi's breakdown at her daughter's daycare begins her journey. At 40, this former editor feels trapped between career and motherhood, succeeding at neither. After collecting her feverish daughter Futaba, she struggles with the child's defiance while managing their chaotic apartment. When her husband returns smelling of alcohol, Natsumi erupts, bemoaning her career sacrifice. Their argument stops when they see Futaba trying to tidy up to end their fighting, leaving Natsumi ashamed. Author Madame Mizue offers perspective, describing life as the merry-go-round of mutual envy. I envy you, your child and husband. You envy me, my freedom to write. She explains, nothing is better or worse. There is no definitive state. At the library, Miss Komachi recommends Door to the Moon. Reading about the rational sun eye and intuitive moon eye, Natsumi realizes she's placed herself at life's center. This insight reveals her true desire, to be a literary fiction editor where both her professional abilities and motherhood are valued. Hiroya, a 30-year-old neat, has seen his creativity stifled by disappointments and family comparisons. At the library, Seitaro offers hope by sharing that many authors found success later in life, like Haruki Murakami at 30 and Jiro Asada at 40. Everybody has their own personal timing, Seitaro explains, a concept that resonates deeply with Hiroya, who has felt left behind. This connection prompts him to install line messaging, a small step toward reconnecting with the world. When Ms. Komachi provides evolution, a visual record, Hiroya identifies with Wallace, whose natural selection discovery preceded Darwin's yet brought less recognition, mirroring his own unacknowledged ideas. His breakthrough comes when a fossilized bird photo sparks his creativity. He draws the bird transformed into a fantastical creature with moral principles, reflecting his own desire to fight injustice. When Hiroya tries discarding his work, Nozomi rescues it, appreciating its uniqueness. For perhaps the first time, he experiences having his creative expression valued. Though news of his successful brother's return dampens his spirits, the seed planted at the library, creating something uniquely his and having it valued, remains. Through his drawing, Hiroya begins reclaiming his voice in a world that had stopped listening. After 42 years of reliable work, Masao retired at 65. 6 months later, he's discovered that 65 feels younger than expected. He lacks hobbies, and without his job, society no longer acknowledges him. This realization hits hardest when New Year brings no cards or gifts, revealing his relationships were merely professional. The emptiness deepens when a young policeman treats him suspiciously as grandpa watching school children. His wife Yoriko points out his appearance, cap pulled low, tatty clothes with work shoes, naturally aroused concern. Building Superintendent Ebigawa offers perspective. Unlike Masao's single company career, Ebigawa followed his passions through various jobs. I do whatever moves me. That's all the reason I need. When Masao laments becoming superfluous to society, Ebigawa challenges, is the company the whole of society for you? Explaining that every human connection forms part of society. Visiting his daughter Chi's bookshop helps Masao understand that retirement isn't the end, but an opportunity to redefine his place in society. Ms. Komachi's library functions as a sanctuary where lives intersect beyond productivity metrics, with everyone receiving equal attention regardless of status. Her handcrafted felt items, a frying pan for Tomoka, a globe for Natsumi, serve as tactile companions to her book recommendations, becoming physical talismans that bridge abstract ideas with concrete experience. Formerly a school nurse and special needs teacher, Ms. Komachi helped Nozomi through severe anxiety. Her gift for matching people with perfect books stems from years helping vulnerable individuals, observing closely, listening deeply, and responding to unspoken needs. When thanked for a life-changing book, she notes that it's how you read a book that is most valuable, rather than any power it might have itself. Her approach embodies the Japanese concept of ma, the meaningful space between things. By the novel's end, we understand her greatest gift is believing in each person's capacity to grow, helping them discover their own questions rather than providing answers.